Yeah, what I've said is that we have, for the second time in about 2 years, received reports from the Ministry of Education that monies amounting to 4.2 billion Kenya shillings have been lost. And I've stated that the minister involved, that is the Minister for Education and high-ranking officials in that ministry, must now take political responsibility and resign, and that if they don't resign, the President of the Republic should remove them from office, and that that is useful for us as an investigating body and any other investigating body, because it will create an environment where junior officers can be interrogated in an environment of freedom in the absence of fear.
Well, Honorable Pierre Lumumba, if I may ask you this question, why wouldn't the investigation go on before calling on this minister to resign? Because some people are saying that he is not directly responsible for the alleged embezzlement of these funds.
In any democracy, there is something called political responsibility. I'm sure if the ministry was engaged in an activity for which it was receiving accolades, the minister would gleefully accept the accolades. The situation is that if the ministry is not performing well, you take political responsibility. And I refuse to believe that a ministry can lose 4.2 billion and the senior officers claim that they do not know or are completely oblivious of the goings on. In a democracy, you take responsibility of the political kind, even if there is no criminal culpability. And I've today cited examples in our neighborhood where the Prime Minister of Tanzania resigned, taking political responsibility, and Uganda, the Minister for Health, Jim Muhwezi, also resigned, taking political responsibility. That is what I am urging to happen.
Kenyans have said that some high-ranking officials accused of financial impropriety and they are still in government. So why this particular minister?
This is not the first time that our organization, or indeed many other Kenyans, have called for ministers to resign. Kenyans have called for resignations times without number. But we have, as a country, particularly the political class, cultivated a culture where they are impervious to all manner of appeals and where impunity is the order of the day. But I believe that there is a beginning. In other countries, people actually take responsibility and do this. I'm quite certain in the United States of America, we have seen this happen. I do not know. Was it in the case of Blagojevich in Illinois? And quite a number of cases in other parts of the world where a claim to democracy is made. We must behave as we claim.
Have you launched an official investigation into these alleged misappropriation of funds at the Ministry of Education in Kenya?
Not only done that, we have in fact caused 25 files to be forwarded to the Attorney General. And as I speak to you, more than 18 officials, in the Ministry of Education are being tried in Nairobi, Kisumu, and different cities in the Republic of Kenya. And these revelations that have come are new revelations, which tells us that even as we investigate and continue to prosecute within this ministry, the theft and the embezzlement and the corruption remains alive and well. And during the watch of this political officials.
Some Kenyans have said that it seems that senior officials don't get the same treatment. What do you think can change this narrative that the anti-corruption or perhaps the Kenyan government has not done enough to weed out graft in Kenya?
I agree with you. The truth is that the law has not treated Kenyans equally. We have developed a culture where those who hold high-ranking officials, not only as government ministers, but even as senior civil servants, do not get the full sting of the law. And when they go to court, they are also treated with velvet gloves. So Kenyans look forward to the day when individuals, no matter how high they are no mightier than the law. And we are coming from a tradition where impunity was the order of the day. And one hopes, therefore, that in the new constitutional dispensation, a new culture will come into force. And we have seen this in countries such as Rwanda. If what is happening in Kenya today was happening in Rwanda or Botswana, the government officials, including the minister, would not be in office for one day. That is what is happening in countries such as Rwanda and Botswana. And I think the sooner we develop that culture, the safer this country will be.
Recently, you made an announcement of soon coming out with a list of high-ranking officials your organization has been investigating. What have you found so far, and when should Kenyans and the rest of the world know the names of such individuals?
There is a sense in which the world sometimes, and particularly the media, misses out. I believe that since I made that announcement, quite a number of high-ranking officials have been arraigned in court. We have arraigned heads of parastatals in court. We have the head of the Tana River Development Authority. We have the former head of the Kenya Broadcasting Corporation in court. We have an ongoing trial of a government minister. We have ongoing investigations involving mutual legal assistance, which by its very nature takes time. It is also known that we have been sued not only in Switzerland, but in Nairobi, Nakuru and Nairobi, to stop us from investigation. So there is a sense in which when we are making this stride, sometimes external forces hold us down and arrest our activities on their tracks through judicial intervention. But I can confirm, and this is in the public domain and through our quarterly report, that fairly high-ranking officials are in court. I can also confirm that there are quite a number of cases which have been transmitted to the Honorable the Attorney General's office, which are awaiting his concurrence. And I believe that we have played the ball whenever the ball was in our court.
Some Kenyans I spoke to wanted to know if the organization is politically free to investigate cases of corruption in the country without any pressure from any quarters in the country. Do you have the free hand to thoroughly investigate such accusations?
I took office 8 months ago and I've not received any phone call from any quarter telling me not to investigate. And even if I were to receive them, my oath of office is very clear on what I should do. So I believe that the political class will always, in a subtle and in subtle ways, try to influence or interfere with our investigations. But as a credible body, we have a duty to discharge our mandate without fear or favor. And we have demonstrated that. We are now, since we assumed office, beginning to investigate cases which were in a state of comatose for almost 3 years. And we are investigating them. We have activities, some of them which are happening outside of the country, which have been resuscitated through our activities of a joint nature with the bodies outside of Kenya. So Kenyans must look at our mandate not only from what we do domestically, but what we are doing with other bodies. We have an individual in the United Kingdom who is awaiting extradition proceedings. We are involved in that. There are individuals against whom orders have been made in New Jersey. We are involved in that. So there is a sense in which we must look at these things holistically.
What is your message to Kenyans about your organization's graft fight?
My message to Kenyans is that the Kenya Anti-Corruption Commission is only the lead organization in the fight against corruption. Kenyans themselves must take a solemn vow that they are going to be warriors in the fight against corruption. I've seen in quite a number of cases when we begin to investigate individuals, when we begin to arrest individuals, then the very same Kenyans, some of them saying their tribes are being finished, their political parties are being targeted. Kenyans must make a choice. Are we going to fight corruption without fear or favor, or we only want corruption fought when people we don't like are the targets?